Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
One thing that we all have in common as human beings, it might not be the fact that we all have a mom and dad who looked after us as we were growing up. It might not be the fact that we all grew up in families that had a mother and a father who were able to be there and present in our lives. But we do have in common the fact that each and every one of us grew up in some context or the other. And I say this with the utmost sensitivity, understanding and not taking for granted that there are some of us who grew up in orphanages, and you find yourself growing up and getting into a workplace, and people take for granted that not everyone within that workplace understands what it means to have a mom and dad, and that can have some psychological impact on you, where you don't perceive yourself in the same way that everybody else does. So in approaching this conversation, I want to first of all just lay the foundation that I understand that each and every one of us grew up in very different contexts. Some of us are fortunate enough to be raised by a mom and dad, or by close family, or by an aunt or a grandmother. And then there are some of us who grew up in situations where you might have been raised by strangers, people you don't know, people you never knew. And it's to no fault of your own. Right. And yeah, it's a very sensitive discussion that I definitely don't want to take lightly. But the reason that I start off with that foundation is to, first of all, talk about this concept or this idea of observational learning. We as human beings, we learn through observing, and it's one of the most impactful ways of learning. And the thing that we don't realize is, even if you were to wake up every morning and say, I'm not going to practice this thing, I'm not going to practice this thing, I'm not going to keep doing this thing, unfortunately, your subconscious has already learned. And without realizing it, if you're raised in an environment that has toxicity, or whatever the coping mechanism was. So I'm talking about from the most dramatic of issues to the least dramatic of issues. So for example, if you grew up in a home where you got shouted at a lot, which is very not necessarily the most dramatic thing that could happen to you, or the most traumatic, but it's somewhere in the middle, right? You develop defense mechanisms where you start using those defense mechanisms on people that aren't necessarily trying to shout at you, or people who you think are doing the same thing that your parents were doing, and your brain cannot tell the difference because the emotion you're feeling is the same. And therefore, you then start approaching this situation with the same mentality and the same approach, right? And then there are those of us who come from families where it's minor things, right? Things that are more inconvenient than they are traumatic or painful. Like you didn't like having dinner at a particular time, so you developed certain defense mechanisms. The reason I'm pointing this out is because there are some of us who believe that we don't need therapy. We don't need to deal with ourselves, and we don't need to look within, because I don't come, for example, from a family that was abusive, or I didn't face any trauma. My mom and dad were loving. But I need you to understand that the person who comes from a relatively peaceful family compared to the person who comes from a family where they faced a lot of trauma, both these individuals need to look deep within and ask themselves, what are the things that I learned through observational learning? Like, was my mother too much of an agreeable person who never stood her ground, whether it's at home with dad or even in public? When we go to the doctor, my mother just doesn't stand her ground, and therefore you learn from that. And when you enter into relationships, you become a bit too agreeable. All of these types of behaviors we learn through observational learning, right? Now you need to ask yourself, is this something that is serious enough for me to change going forward? Right. And then you have trauma. There's traumas that impact us that we then take as a result. We walk into them with those traumas at work. Like some people have poverty trauma where they never want to be associated with poverty. Like I know people who, once they started making money, they would not eat food that is not from Woolworths, you know, fruit, meat, whatever the case may be, because it says something to them. It has a message that it has brought them, that I've made it out of where I come from. And that's a very, very significant thing for them. And it's to no fault of their own, and it's perfectly understandable. But another thing I need to point out is the fact that there are many different types of trauma that you could be experiencing. I mean, I don't know the exact categories or the exact terms that are used, but you can think about it yourself, right? There's the trauma of, for example, growing up in a family where there wasn't a lot of food. There's a trauma where you might have grown up in a family where there was violence and there was loudness and people were speaking to each other in a very disrespectful manner. I know that I have a trauma of just being sent. What I mean by that is those who speak Zulu will understand mangiti ukthunywa, like ukuthi ungthume, because my mother used to do it in such a way that it really just got under my skin, right? And it would lead to a lot of fights between her and I. So as a result, as a grown-up, I need to then observe and ask myself, what is my relationship with someone sending me to do something or someone ordering me to do something? Because I grew up with my mother, because I know my mother to be the person that she is, right? I love her, but she grew up in a context that shaped her as well. I've written a poem about it, surprisingly enough, right? A beautiful poem about it, about how my mother was raised by a mom and dad who believed that their wish is their kid's command. They just do everything. They're not good. There's no negotiation. If I want tea from you, we do not negotiate. You listen to what I say. And unfortunately, as times have progressed, the younger generations don't respond well to that, right? For many reasons that will probably be explained in a different episode. So the real question here that you need to ask yourself is, what is the trauma that might have impacted you and that you might have taken away from home? Is it physical abuse? Is it emotional abuse? Is it financial abuse? Is it that you grew up in a household where you saw your parents lacking so much that you never ever want to be with someone who does not have money? Which is a very big problem, because it does raise the question of your stick-to-itiveness, like your commitment to a relationship. Imagine if your friends were to say to you, I don't want to be friends with you when you don't have money. I only want you and I to connect when we both have money. That's not a friendship. If you're married to someone, I myself want to be married with someone who says, listen, I know you're a committed person and I know you're a dedicated person, and you'd never, regardless of whether we have money or not, I will support you because I trust in the version of you that will not accept a situation that is not beneficial to the two of us. And that's a very, very important thing for people to know. It's a very important thing for both men and women to have within them, that my person is with me. I just need to make sure that I work hard so that her and I, or so that him and I, continue to progress in life. And then the last thing I want to touch on is generational patterns, right? The behaviors that can get passed down if not addressed. The reason that I'm isolating these generational patterns is because not all of them are traumas. Not all of them are dramatic. Some of them are pretty, pretty innocent in the way that they look. And some of them are very contextual, right? We need to understand that just because something was okay in your family, like, for example, there are families and households where it is unacceptable to not use the right spoon when eating, or it's unacceptable to not have dinner around the table. But you must understand that as much as there are benefits to having dinner around a dinner table, there are very, very big, big benefits. But it is important for you to understand that that's a traditional thing that your family did. You might have not thought of it that way, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with having dinner around the couch, not while watching TV. That's not what I'm advocating for. Having a meal as a family should be a social thing, but you must understand that different contexts have different practices. You might have been raised in a family where you had meals around a fire. You all sat on the floor and ate, which is a lot of Eastern cultures and Eastern traditions, where you sit on the floor or on a pillow when you eat as a family. Where in some contexts you might find that you dish up for yourself or from food that is laid out on a table. In some contexts you find that every individual is dished up for. So these are things that we need to think about, like, what is it that I learned from my family, that I have now made law, or I have created a legalistic or legalism with this thing, where in whatever context I walk into, I will not accept any less than this. However, I have not asked myself whether, is this really that important? I was raised this way, but should I be raising my kids that way? Like, what are the benefits of doing it differently? Very, very important thing to consider. So I know I've given you a lot to think about, and I'm pretty proud of this conversation. So I just want you to let it settle. Let it settle within you. And after that, start to question, you know, have a conversation with some friends and start to question, what are the ways in which you are going to try and change the family narrative?
Our topic for discussion this evening is breaking generational cycles. Can you be the one that's changing the family narrative? And this can be such a conversation, because I will tell you, yes. Yes, by all means, you should be the one. There's this meme that was going the rounds a while back for this old man shouting at the younger man, shouting at the younger man, shouting at the younger man. It was like these five guys shouting at one another. And the one just turned around and he said, stop, right, to the man shouting at him. And his son was sitting behind him, which would then obviously be on the far right-hand side of the meme on the comic strip, sitting behind him, playing peacefully. We can be the ones that's stopping this generational thing. In the town that I live in Mossel Bay, we've got a massive issue with fatherless households. Now, I know this is not a generational thing. This is a national thing. But I also believe it is a generational thing, because my dad and his friends went to war, right? So when they came back, I don't know how to say this without sounding very strange. When they came back, they never actually came back. They were always still in war mode, right? So everybody was always defending themselves. Everybody was feeling guilty for the fact that they killed people. Everybody was feeling guilty for their friends that died and they did not die. That means that we've had a fatherless generation, because they were fathers and they were, but they weren't dads, if I can call them like that. They weren't actively present. I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed. My dad was. But he was the one that broke the curse. He was the one that broke the generational thing about saying, like, listen, I don't want to be this like my dad. Because one thing that you and I need to consider is all our parents, except if you're probably high school age now, but if you're a bit older than varsity and already working, there's a very big chance that your dad might have been in a war, right? Can be the War of Freedom in South Africa, can be Guguletu, can be in up in Africa, wherever, whatever the case might be, right? He was in a war. Then we also need to take in consideration that his dad was involved in a war. In other words, your grandparents were involved in a war, and his dad, so your great-grandparents, have been involved in a war. We're the first generation that's not actively involved in war in South Africa. I know we're going to the Congo, and I know what's happening in Iran, and I know what's happening in Gaza. I know all these things, but I mean, we as South Africans aren't actively participating in our local area where we stay, right? So take that into consideration. That has led to a lot of fathers not being able to be present at home. I want you to realize that there are obviously logistical reasons and rational reasons for what we are experiencing with regards to the fatherless generations. But I want you also to realize that you have the ability, the God-given powers and the God-given mindset to stop it. You can literally stop this. You can stop what's happening. May it be abuse, may it be gender violence, may it be molestations, for that matter. You have the ability to stop it from happening to your children and to the people around you. You have this God-given ability. And I don't want to put extra pressure on you, but I actually want to tell you, like, listen, God is expecting of you to stop it. That is the entire process of sanctification. Sanctification is a very big fancy theological word to tell you that we are becoming more like Jesus. What does God expect of us? To be like Jesus, to become more like Jesus. How will we do that? by spending time in His presence and being with Him. Now, the more you become like Jesus, you need to remember that whenever He prayed, He called God Father, and that means that you are He is your Father. When we pray, we become more like our Father, meaning that we are more heavenly minded. Not so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly good, but we become heavenly minded and we change the way that we feel and think about life and our people around us. As long as you do that, you will have the heart of Jesus Christ and you will stop this generational thing from happening. Whatever it might be, I mentioned fatherlessness with my generation and the generation after me, but it might be something totally different that you're experiencing. But the fact that it is a generational cycle that needs to be broken is indicative of the fact that you need to allow Jesus to come into that scenario. You need to add Jesus to the picture in order for you to be more like Him, look more like Him, and love more like Him.
Become active, active in faith. 657 AM.
We understand that as a young person, you face many challenges that threaten both your safety and mental well-being. And in this fast-moving world, you don't always have someone to talk to. That's why I Am Youth has joined hands with Child Protection Hotline to give reliable and accessible counseling to young people. So send a WhatsApp text, SMS, or call the number 076-037-6345 to get help today. We believe that you are worth it. Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life explained.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.